And so will we. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it is the biggest day of the church year. Really, we're celebrating the biggest day in history. But when Jesus died on the cross on Good Friday, it didn't look that way. It looked like everything was lost. For the disciples who had believed in Him, all hope was lost. To the mortal eye, it looked as if Jesus had lost and the devil had won. There hung the world's great Redeemer, dead, defeated, humiliated even. And if the story had ended there, then we would be a pretty pitiable group of people. 2,000 years of baptisms, of communions, confirmations, sermons, ordinations into the pastoral office, all of this would be meaningless. Worst of all, we would still be dead. Dead in our trespasses and our sins. We'd have no hope of eternal life. Death would hold as much terror for you and me as it does for those who don't believe. That's how important the resurrection is. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is so important that that's what opponents of Christianity attack. Because they know that without the resurrection, there is no Christianity. That's why they do everything to question the historical fact of Jesus' resurrection. They try to put Jesus back into that tomb. But I'm here to tell you, dear Christian friends, Jesus won't go back there. He's risen from the dead. He will come back in glory to share that new life with us. So today we rejoice that the cross is not where the story ended. Our age-old enemy, death, had done its worst. It had had its way with the Son of God. It had sank its teeth into our Redeemer, the author of life. But death's victory was short-lived. Its dominion over the souls of men was over, brought to an end on the first day of the week, when early in the morning our Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. This is where we find the two Marys in our gospel reading today. Mark's gospel tells us that the two women had gone to the tomb early in the morning, the first day of the week, to anoint Jesus' body with spices. They hadn't had time on Good Friday to prepare the body for burial. So they went early on Sunday morning. Matthew's gospel picks up the story right at the point where they come to the tomb. And Matthew explains how the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. He says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it." I love that. The angel sat on the stone. But what a declaration of victory. And you know why the stone was rolled away. The stone was rolled away not so that Jesus could leave. He was already gone. The stone was rolled away so that the witnesses could see it was empty. So that the women who got there first could see that there was no Jesus in the tomb. He was alive. All they saw was this angel dressed in radiant white, white as lightning. The angel says, I love this. The guards are frightened half to death. But the angel says to the women, don't be afraid. The one whom you seek, Jesus, is not here. He has risen. What a great line. Wouldn't you love to be that angel? The first one who gets to say, he is risen? He is not here. And then he says, come see the place where he is laid. It's empty. Come and look. It's empty. Look for yourself. All was not lost. Devil, death, it was at an end. The devil and death had lost. And Jesus was drawing all us poor sinners to himself. It was necessary that the Christ should suffer, be crucified, and be raised again on the third day. Over and over, he had told his disciples this to prepare them for what was coming. It was not until he rose from the dead, however, until they really understood what all this meant. That's when they believed in him. You see, Good Friday was God's answer to sin. Good Friday was how our righteous and just God expunged all of our sins by laying them upon Jesus. But if the wages of sin is death, then Easter is God's answer to death. Easter is how God proved to the world that Christ's once and for all sacrifice atoned for all sin. And together, Good Friday and Easter mean that your sins are forgiven and that through Christ, you have victory over death too. And that victory is delivered to you in something you can see and feel and taste and touch, in the sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion. What a better way to celebrate God's victory over sin and death and the devil than to have a victory celebration. Now, I hope you enjoyed the Easter breakfast, if you were here for that. That was a nice breakfast. But we're going to enjoy an even better feast, the victory feast of the Lamb and His kingdom, which has no end. The victory feast of Jesus Christ, who trampled death, who trampled the grave, who trampled sin and the devil. The prophet Isaiah foretold God's victory over death and sin, and he also foretold the celebratory feast that God himself would prepare. Isaiah said, on this mountain, Mount Zion, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine. A rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all people. What is the covering that's cast over all people? The veil that is spread over all nations. What is the veil spread over all nations? He will swallow up death forever. Wow. The Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach, our guilt, from all people. He will take that away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. 600 years before Jesus, he says this. That's God's promise. God's promise to his people. God's promise to you. And God kept his promise on that Easter Sunday when Christ rose from the dead. He destroyed our greatest enemy through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And in his rich grace, Christ has given us a feast of rich food for our salvation too, in his own body and blood. What could be richer? What could be more satisfying? What could be a better victory feast than that? And in this victory feast, It's with Jesus Christ with whom we dine. It's no mere symbol of a distant Savior somewhere else. He's here in our midst in flesh and blood. The risen Christ stays with us. He comes to us to forgive us this Sunday and every Sunday. It's a marvelous cure for death. It's a marvelous cure for God's judgment. And it's a lot of comfort for us Christians here this day. Our Lord has defeated death, and we get to celebrate that victory with Him by feasting with Him. Is it any wonder that Christians gathered on Sunday in the early church to celebrate, to hear the teaching of the apostles and break bread together? It's because Sunday was the day that Christ rose from the dead. In fact, every Sunday, that's why we celebrate on Sunday. Every Sunday is like a mini celebration of Easter, of this day when Christ rose from the dead. Because Easter validates and gives meaning to everything that Jesus said and everything that Jesus did, including going to the cross. Because of Easter, there can be no doubt that His words were true. There can be no uncertainty that indeed this was the Son of God. And there can be no question that our sins are forgiven. And the same can be said of the church and the work that we do here. Because Jesus, our Lord, is risen, our faith is not in vain. There can be no doubt that baptism is truly a washing away of sins. There can be no uncertainty that Holy Communion is truly a life-giving feast of forgiveness. And there can be no question that the forgiveness spoken in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit applies to you and is given to you freely as God's gift. What comfort there is in these words. Now, for those of us who are on this side of the resurrection, I don't know, maybe this is the best part of Easter. Maybe the best part of Christ's resurrection is the comfort that it gives to us, because all doubts flee. It is certain because of the certainty of Christ's resurrection for you. And if you've borne a heavy cross in your life, if you've ever felt in moments of difficulty that maybe God has forgotten you, or maybe you thought that your faith was in vain, or maybe you just felt like your life was utterly futile, there is no news more welcome because of the certainty of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the certainty of the forgiveness of sins for you and the certainty of your resurrection too. When we face death or severe illness, sometimes if you lose a husband or a wife, parents or children, if you ever suffer ridicule or mockery for the sake of Christ, we needn't despair. Our Lord is risen. He has won victory over death. And while crosses must be borne, today we rejoice that death was not final. It did not have the last word for Jesus. And it does not have the last word for you. Let us give thanks as we prepare for a victory feast in the name of our risen Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.